Good evening, everybody. Everyone, good evening. It is like I'm the only person that is wearing a suit here, so I think it's better I remove it. Again, I want to begin by appreciating every one of us that has made our stay here with you for this second week running a worthwhile. Those of you that have been walking during our services, those of you that have come around during the breakfast, during the prayer, upstairs and downstairs, those of you that took us to your home and give us very wonderful food, and it's like I have added weight because I've been working on my weight to say that I reduce it. So I want to thank all of you. Again, I want to thank Reverend Dennis, the beloved wife, Pat. I want to thank our Pastor Eddie and Mark International, and his wife, Emma. We appreciate every one of you. And we promise you that we are going to continue praying for Battle Baptist Church. I have a feeling that God has something to do in this church. I have a feeling that it's going to be a breakthrough, an open door. God is going to do something here. Revival will break out sooner or later. If you agree with me, say amen like thunder. Thank you. Something just occurred to me. I have not been hearing the Big Ben. And I don't know whatever happened to it. You know better than myself. You know, it doesn't take time. People begin to forget something that has a traditional significance. Please, those of you who know whom to speak to, those of you who know whom to appeal to, let the sound of the Big Ben be heard. Please tell them, you know, it doesn't take time, we begin to forget something very important. And that is about what I'm going to be sharing this evening, so that we will not forget something which is very, very important. Turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke Gospel chapter 3. Luke Gospel chapter 3. I want us to stand together again, if you wouldn't mind, and let us read it. Just one verse of the scripture. Luke Gospel chapter 3 verse 21. Luke 3:21. Shall we read it together? Luke chapter 3 verse 21. I want everybody to join as we read it together. One, go. Luke 3:21. Are you there? Okay, shall we read?
When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus
also being baptized and was praying, the heavens was open. I want you to mark the connection. And was praying, and the heavens was open. Mark it. And was praying, and the heavens was open. You may be seated. I want to share with us what I consider to be very, very important. Making praying a business. Making praying a business. Making praying a business. Prayer is one of the greatest gifts that God has given to the church. Prayer is a plan that God has made for him to continue doing what he has not done yet. There are many things that God has not done yet on earth, and he left it to his church. That when his church begin to pray, and begin to ask him to do those things, then God will bring it to pass. It is only by praying that we can make God to do what he has not done yet. So I want you to lay hold on that. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, shows us the importance of praying. When he came to this world, he came in like yourself and myself. The Bible said that he emptied himself of his powers and his glory. He was born like every other human being was born. Though he was supernaturally conceived, but he was born like you and myself. He wanted to identify with humankind. He wanted to sit where you are sitting. He wanted to see the challenges that we are facing. He also wanted to show us how to gain victory in this planet Earth. One of the reasons why we should make praying a business is that, one, that you and I may live a successful life on Earth. For you to live a successful life on Earth, it cannot come by chance. It cannot come by accident. And when I'm talking about successful, I am talking about successful from God's viewpoint. I'm not talking about successful from man's viewpoint. Men have the way they look at things. Men have the way they judge things. And God has the way he looks at things and judges things. Of course, he told us in his word that men look outwardly, but he, God, looks in the inside. So, God's ways are different from our ways. His judgment is different from our judgment. If God doesn't say you have succeeded, or you are a successful man, or a successful woman, or a successful young man, then you are not a successful person. I want God to declare me successful when my life on earth must have been over. So one of the reasons why we should make praying a business is that we might live a successful life. Many people think that when you have the whole money on earth, when you are a leading politician, when peradventure you become the Prime Minister of Great Britain or President of America or Nigeria, oh, that is successful. That may not be successful view from the sight of the living God. So when Jesus Christ was born, he grew up, began his ministry, he had to be baptized. He was not baptized because he committed any sin or had any sin. Jesus was not baptized because he needed to repent of anything, no. He baptized because he wanted to set an example for us who will follow him. And that was what he told John the Baptist, who refused to baptize Jesus. Jesus told John and said, go ahead and baptize me so it behoves me to fulfill all righteousness. Because baptism has a meaning. To be baptized means that you are declaring to everyone that you have died as far as sinful lifestyle is concerned. So, as you are being dipped into the water, it is a picture of somebody that has died and you are now being buried. As the pastor, the minister, pulls you out from the water, it is a picture of a resurrection into a new life. So Jesus was saying, when anyone comes to me, I will do a work in him or her that will lead to an end to evil life, to an end to sin. And the person is going to become an embodiment of good work, an embodiment of holiness, an embodiment of righteousness, an embodiment of service unto God. So when Jesus was baptized, the Bible said that coming out from the water, the Spirit of God came upon him. And Jesus began to pray. And as he was praying, the heavens was open. Brothers and sisters in Christ, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hope heaven to open for you, the only way to make heaven open for you is for you to make praying a business. If you don't make praying business, heaven is not going to open for you. So I want you to lay hold on that. For us to live a successful life, for heaven to open to us, we need to make praying a business. The other reason why we need to make praying a business is that we might leave this world victoriously. Whether you like it or not, a day shall come you are going to leave this planet Earth. You will expire. You are not going to stay in battle or in UK forever. There's a time you are going to leave this Earth. God has meted out to each one of us the period we are going to stay on planet Earth to serve him and carry out his will and purpose. And I want to leave this Earth victoriously. And the only way to leave this Earth victoriously is for you to make praying a business. What do I mean by living victoriously? Paul declared to the church and said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept my faith. I have fulfilled the mission that God brought me to do in this world. And what remained for me at the time of my departure has come. I am going to depart and go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to give me a crown of victory. A crown of life. And it's not only to me alone he's going to give that crown. He will give it to all the people that will live victoriously and serve God well on earth. They also will receive a crown after they leave this world. So for us to live this world victoriously, completing our assignment, you must make prayer a business. If you don't make praying a business, number one is that you will not even know why God brought you to this earth. You will not know why you are here in Baptist Church. You will not know. God has a purpose of bringing me and bringing you into planet earth. He has a purpose of planting you in this local church. There is a job to be done. There is a ministry to carry out. There are people who are in the churches, they just sit down as what we call abandoned property. All they do is when a preacher comes around and preaches what they consider to be a good message, they say, oh, praise the Lord. And when the service is over, they are gone to your tent, oh Israel. You don't hear anything about them again. But I want you to know that there's a reason why you are here. When David visited his brothers in the war front to take food to them, it was the time that Goliath was challenging the army of Israel. Goliath of Gad will come and abuse Israeli soldiers, abuse the God of Israel. And all the Israelite soldiers, they will run into the cave. Goliath said, I challenge the army of Israel. Give me a man that will fight with me. I defy the God of Israel. Give me a man to come and fight me. If he wins me, all of Philistine will become slaves to the people of Israel. If I defeat that person and kill that person, Israel will be slaves to the Philistines. Nobody dare go confront him. Israeli soldiers ran into the cave. It was at that time that David came. When David was giving his brother food, there Goliath appeared. And all of them ran and abandoned the food that David brought to them. David was embarrassed. He was like, what is going on here? He heard Goliath barking abuse on the name of the living God. and David can't take it. The anointing in him was swelling up. David asked his brothers, who is that uncircumcised Philistine that is abusing God of heaven? The living God, the creator of heaven and earth. His brother told him to shut up his mouth. They know that he did not come to bring them food. It is because of pride and arrogance that brought him to the battle so that he will see battlefield. They told David, before we count three, run away and go back and take care of our father's sheep. David made this statement. David asked them, is there no cause why I am here? Is there no reason why I am here? If you don't make praying a business, you will not know the reason why you are here on planet Earth. Whether you are going to live for 100 years, like my mother, who is 100 years this year, or you live for 80 or 90 years, 120, whatever, you need to find out, why am I here? Why am I here? There is a reason. There is work to be done. I pray that God will open your eyes and challenge us and take us back to make covenant that we are going to be living a praying life so that we will leave this world victoriously. The other reason why we should make praying business is because we face a period of unparalleled demonic activity in our world. We face a period of an unparalleled demonic activity in our world. Please don't take offense with me. You know, sometimes when we talk about demonic activities, some of our brethren in Europe, they don't so much believe that there is demonic activity. Some of them don't believe that there is even a person called Satan. There are forces called demon. But these are real. God say that Satan was one time an angel of God called Lucifer. And because of rebellion, God thrust him out from his throne. And he was thrust out with other angels who fell along with him. And so they are terrorizing humankind. In Revelation chapter 12, verse number 12, the Bible even tells us, when Satan therefore rejoice, O heaven, and you that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having a great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. When the devil was cast out from heaven, heaven itself declare woe upon the planet Earth. Say, woe unto you that dwell on planet Earth. Because the devil, Satan, has been thrust out and is coming up against you with a great anger. This period that you and I, we are living in, is a period, an unparalleled satanic, demonic activity in our world. And that's the reason why we can hear the rise of militants, occultism, Boko Haram in Nigeria, Al-Qaeda, terrorizing the people of Afghanistan and that area, the ISIS that had killed so many people over in Iraq, in Syria, and that part of the world. We can go on and on. Kidnappers, ritual killers, suicide bombers. Just day before yesterday, you heard of what happened at London. And it continued to happen all over the world. Nowhere is safe. These activities are being inspired by the kingdom of Satan. And it is only as you and I make praying business that we shall not fall prey to them. Not only that we shall not fall prey to them, we can be able to diffuse, to destroy the activities of these evil forces. Boko Haram rose up in Nigeria. Before anybody can spell Jack, they took over 7 local government councils in the northeast of Nigeria. The church in Nigeria woke up and began to pray and said, God, we want the powers of darkness that is behind the oppression of the Boko Haram to be destroyed. And today, as I'm talking to you, the power of Boko Haram has been drastically been reduced. All the area they occupy, the soldiers of Nigeria, they have been able to drive them out. But however, I am not looking at the soldiers. I am looking at the prayers of the saints in Nigeria. The church, making prayer a business, that is why God is giving us victory. If you are saying amen, say better amen. If you are saying amen, shout amen like thunder. Amen. We must make praying a business. We must make praying business. Prayerlessness is a serious problem. If a Christian is not praying, if a church is not praying, we become a disaster ready to happen. If your family is not praying, if your church is not praying, you become a disaster ready to happen. I believe that God has a plan for Battle Baptist Church. I believe that God is going to break out in this place. And the only way that God can break out, to begin to do something beyond your imagination, beyond your thinking, is when you and I and this church as a corporate body make praying a business. That is the only way that is going to happen. I urge us, make prayer business. Let us be like Noah, who was able to save himself and save his family. Hebrews chapter 10, chapter 11, verse 7. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. The Bible said that by faith Noah, because he yielded himself to God and he lived a life of prayer, he was able to save himself and his family. If you don't make praying business, you'll be in danger. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of God, but takes not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, and by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Our world is hanging in a terrible balance. If you don't pray, your life will be in risk. Your family will be at risk. Another reason why we need to pray. We need to pray so that we can secure the salvation of our loved ones. We need to make praying a business so that we can secure the salvation of our loved ones. It is an unbearable thought that those for whom we have love for and affection for can come under the attack and control of the powers of darkness. It is heartbreaking to watch people pass the time of decision. They live a Christless life and finally die and go to a Christless hell. It is a heartbreaking thought. It seemed to me that God has connected me and connected you to the members of our family. Not just for us to call them for morning breakfast. Not just for us to call them to have a cup of tea. Not only for us to invite them for a dinner. God has connected us with certain people so that God will use our lifestyle, our prayer, our seeking the face of God to bring them to the seven knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jeremiah cried in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. He cried out his heart to the people of Israel. He said the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. He cried unto God for the salvation of the people of Israel. And it dawned on Jeremiah that the people of Israel, they are passing through the time limit that God has given to them to get saved. Every man has a time limit. Every woman has a time limit. Every boy has a time limit that God has programmed in his economy to get you saved. But sometimes you see somebody growing from year 1 to year 10, refuse to give his life to Christ. From year 10 to year 15, he's not bothered. From year 15 to year 20, he's not bothered. You can even see some people at 50 years, they have not given their life to Christ. They are passing the years of decision, the time of decision. But if there is a believer in that house who can begin to make praying business, God can use the prayer of one man and save all the people that are your family. I am a living witness. We are 7 of us from our mother's womb, 5 boys and 2 girls. And I was like the bad boy, the Satan person in the house. But God, who is full in mercy, when he decided to visit my family, I was the first one that Jesus saved. And I began to pray and to seek the face of God and say, God, I cannot follow you alone. I cannot be alone in heaven. I want all my 2 senior brothers, my 2 junior sisters, and other 2 brothers. I want them to know you. As I began praying, God stepped into the family. He saved my immediate junior sister, who even I took him to live with me, sent him to school. He saved the next one. My junior brother is following my junior sister. He saved the next one, saved the last one, who is a doctor now and a professor ministering in lecturing in one of our universities. That one also lived with me. It remained 2 elderly ones. God now went and saved my immediate senior brother. So I'm talking to you, it's one, our most senior that remained. And we are all crying unto God, God, we love our most senior brother. We want you to touch him and save him and bring him to know you just as you have done to us. I don't know how many people that the Lord has connected with you. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verse 31, you recall the message of Paul when the keeper of the prison discovered that God's power has come and brought out Paul and Silas. He wanted to kill himself because he thought that Paul and Silas, they have run away because of the earthquake, the power of God that came down to liberate them. Paul said unto him, do yourself no harm, for we are here. We don't run away like that. We are not afraid of anything. And the man in charge of the prison said unto Paul, what shall I do to be saved? Listen and watch this. Paul said unto him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and your household. It seemed to me in the plan and economy of God, he connects you with the members of your family. You can't go to heaven alone. Why they go to hellfire? God can use you. He said, and thou shalt be saved and thy household. In Acts chapter 27, to still emphasize the point, when Paul was to be judged in Rome, he boarded a ship. In that ship, there were altogether 266 persons in that ship. Paul advised the captain of the ship not to start the journey. But the captain of the ship said, who are you, Paul? You are a pastor. You know nothing about sheep selling. Piam, they sell off. They move out. No sooner they have gone halfway into the Mediterranean Sea, a dangerous hurricane came. The sky turned black. For days, they could not see the light of the sun. A serious tempest came. And Paul went to prayer. He began to seek the face of God. The hurricane was so horrible that all the loads in the ship, they began to carry and throw inside the ship, inside the sea. They carry and throw inside the sea. Then Paul woke up and said unto them, if you had listened to me, Captain, Mr. Man, we would not have been in this danger. But I want you to know, the God whom I serve, the Lord whom I serve, even Jesus sent his angel to come and stand by me last night. As I pray, as I seek his face, and he told me that no one single soul in this ship is going to be lost. Only the ship itself is going to be broken. Praise the Lord. How many people are on your voyage ship to heaven? How many? Make praying your business. If you make praying to business, I assure you that every member of your family can be saved according to the scriptures. That is why you are here. That is why the Lord has saved you, so that he begin to use you and turn things around. Praise the name of the Lord. We need to make praying a business so that we can secure the salvation of our loved ones. Another reason why we need to make praying business is that we might fulfill the mission of God in the city where he has planted us. There is a mission that God wants to fulfill in battle and beyond the cities of battle. He's not going to use angels to do it. Angels do not preach the gospel because they know nothing about how sinful man is. They don't know about all that they know is to sing of the glory of God. They don't know the fall of man. That is why God did not commission angels to come and do the preaching. When Paul went into Ephesus, there was so much confusion. He wanted to run away. God said unto him, don't leave this city. Remain here, for I have many people in this city. God has many people in battle. As we make praying business, God is going to begin to bring them one after the other. Praise the name of the Lord. We need to make praying business so that God can protect our tomorrow. Our tomorrow is very, very important. There are lots of tragedies that are happening in our world. Some of them you cannot explain how it come about. Forces of darkness and oppression. Think about 2 years or thereabout. This Malaysian aircraft that was going back to Malaysia with close to 300 passengers. Up to today, the world with all our technological equipment, nobody has been able to know where that plane dropped into, whether Indian Ocean or Pacific Ocean or Atlantic Ocean. Nobody knew where that plane dropped into with all the men and women and young people inside it. It is only as we make praying business that God can save us from tragedies, future tragedies. October 2014, my wife was planning to come to Coventry to see our daughter, and she went to the market where they do her hair, to do her hair. I have gone for evangelistic preaching somewhere in Abuja there. We did not know that the forces of darkness have planned a terrible thing against us. But God took control. Before we know it, our fire exploded in our house. And that fire explosion started in my room and Gracefield room. And everything that was inside the house was consumed by fire. Everything you can think about was consumed by fire. But here we are, praising God. Who knew the intensity and the level that Satan had planned that attack? Maybe he must have calculated when we have fallen asleep, when we are all sleeping in deep sleep, then that fire incident will take place. If that had happened, I would have been in heaven now. Gracefield would have been in heaven now. We would not have been here ministering to you. But because of praying that goes without ceasing, God was able to put us out of safety and material things were consumed. But here we are still alive, doing what God has called us to be doing. We need to pray. You pray for your tomorrow. You pray for your sons. You pray for your daughters. Sometimes they may be doing well in the church, and all of a sudden, the devil may lead your boy to marry the son of Jezebel or the son of Ahab. And that's the reason why we need to make praying a business. Save yourself, save your family. You pray for your children. You pray for your boy child. You pray for your girl child that the God whom you serve will not allow them to marry the sons of Ahab and the daughters of Jezebel. I don't know whether somebody is hearing me. If you are hearing me, wave your hand and say, I'm hearing you, Gabriel. You know, why must we make prayer a business? We should make praying business so that we will not make fatal mistakes. We will not make fatal mistakes. Our first parents, they did not make praying business, and they made a fatal mistake. And that is the mistake that the whole world is still suffering today. God said to Adam and Eve, don't eat that fruit tree in the garden. But of every other fruit tree, go ahead, eat and enjoy yourself. But the spirit of disobedience came upon Eve. And she began to enter into conversation with the devil. You know, some people said, when you want to eat with the devil with a long spoon. One of my Bible school teachers said, don't even dare, even with a long spoon. Don't go near. Because the person who deceived your father and your mother is wiser than you are. Not even with a long spoon. Don't dare. The Bible said that through the disobedience of one man, sin entered into our world. Our first parent made a fatal mistake. And it came because they were not praying, if they knew anything about prayer at all. And God drove them away from the beautiful Garden of Eden. And God sent an angel with a sword that turned both ways to guide the tree of life so that they will not eat it. Abraham made a fatal mistake. At the hour of not making praying a business, he made a fatal mistake. You say, what was the mistake, Gabriel? He went down to Egypt. And when he was coming out from Egypt, he picked a small little girl, an innocent girl. In the process of time, which you know very well, Sarah was like, oh, it's like God is not going to bless you, my husband, through me. I give you permission to take my housemaid and sleep with her. Be happy. Without making praying business, Abraham took Hagar and slept with her, and Ishmael was born. Ishmael was born. who is the father. You trace the ISIS. You trace the Muslims. You trace the people that are making the world a terrible place. You trace them back to Ishmael. Abraham made that mistake. And that's why we need to make prayer business. Moses made a fatal mistake. God said unto Moses, when Israel needed water, I am going to stand before you like a rock. Mark the word like a rock. God is not a rock. God is a living personality. He's a living spirit. Like my wife Gretchen said, he's an awesome God. He can appear in any form. He can disappear also. He can appear like an angel. He can appear like a human being. But it's not a human being. He can appear like a rock. But it's not a rock. He is Jehovah Jireh. Said unto Moses, I am going to stand before you like a rock. And when you get to where I am standing, still know at the back of your mind that it is El Shaddai standing. It is I am whom I am standing. It is the eternal God standing. Speak to me to bring out water, and I will give water. Do you hear Moses? Moses said, yes, Lord. Because he did not make praying business at that very particular moment. The children of Israel swooped around Moses. They began to abuse him. Give us water. Give us water to drink. The old man, the old life of anger came back to Moses, into Moses. Pride came. Arrogance came. And Moses said to the children of Israel, you stiff-necked people, do you think I, Moses, can fetch you water from this rock? It is now this rock. It is no more Jehovah who can do all things. So come and drink. Moses, at the moment of his sanity, at the moment of not making prayer business, he drew out his rod and became the first man and the last man who ever flogged God. Pastor Mike. He did not flog God once. He flogged God. Bye! He flogged God again. Bye! And God endured the flogging of Moses and still allowed the water to come out. Why did God do that? Had God refused to allow the water to come out, the children of Israel could have strangled Moses and tear him piece and pieces. There would have been no part of him to be buried. But God, who is deep in love and mercy, he still allowed the water to come out. Why the people of Israel were drinking the water? God called Moses and said, Moses, step aside. I've honored you, but you refuse to honor me. You have the audacity to flog me. You are journeyed into the land of promise, is stopping here. I will deny you that which you have longed and labored and fasted and labored for many years. Come up to the hill, to the mountain. Let me show you the land of promise, so that you know I was not deceiving the people of Israel. For disobey me, you are going to stop here. You are going to die. David made a fatal mistake. At the hour of not praying, his eyes opened to see another man's wife bathing in a bathroom. And he went after that woman, the wife of his most trusted soldier, Uriah, and slept with that woman and conceived that woman and wanted to hide it. Then called Uriah out from the war front and said, I'm giving you leave. Go and stay with your wife and enjoy yourself. But Uriah was a stubborn, faithful, loyal soldier. Said unto David, how can I go and sleep in my house when my commander-in-chief, Joab, is in the war front? The Ark of Covenant It's in the war front. I will not, O king, live forever. Because you know, one sin led to another. David now decided to write a letter for the execution of one of his most trusted soldiers. When we don't make praying business, we make a fatal mistake. Joshua made a fatal mistake because he did not make praying business. You know how he entered into covenant without praying with the Gibeonites, who disguised themselves as though they were coming from a far country, not knowing that they are just coming like from Hastings. And Joshua entered into a covenant without praying. And the Gibeonites became torn in the flesh. What will I tell you about Lot? About Lot's wife? I think I have said enough to let us know that praying is very, very important. We need to make it a lifestyle. There is a global insecurity all over the place. We need to make praying a lifestyle. Even from the pot where you cook your food and dish out, there may be death in the pot. Prophet Elisha, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38-41, asked the sons of the prophet to go and bring vegetable. Let us prepare food. They went and brought vegetable, prepare food, but they did not know in the process of preparing the food, they carried poisonous food and poisonous vegetable and put inside. They pull it out. They saw it. They cry out to Elisha. There is death in the pot. But when we make praying a lifestyle, the Lord is going to guide us. The Lord is going to lead us. When we make praying a lifestyle, God is going to come into Battle Baptist Church. When we go out to minister, people will listen to us. When we pray for the sick, we see God coming to heal the sick. When somebody has any problem and we call upon God, God will say, "Here am I." When we make praying a lifestyle, I want us to stand up together this evening. I want us to renew our covenant of praying this evening. I want us to say to God, whatever that constitutes laziness in me, whatever that constitutes weakness in me, whatever that takes my attention away from having time to seek your face in prayer, Lord, you take it away from me. This is the problem the church has been having. Jesus, at the hour of need, at the hour of great challenge, when the forces of darkness wanted to divide the attention of Jesus, took his most trusted disciples to the Mount of Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And Jesus said, "Stay here. My spirit is strong to go, but my flesh is weak. Stay here and pray with me, lest we fall into temptation." Jesus stepped forward and fell down, knelt down and began to call upon God. He prayed until his body began to oust out blood. But when he came back, he made the disciples. They were all Jesus woke them up and said, "Does it mean you cannot even pray for 1 hour?" Many of us find it hard to stay on our knees or stay in the presence of God and pray for 1 hour. And yet we want God to do miracles. We want God to bring down fire from heaven. Oh, may we renew our covenant of prayer this evening. When this church returns back to praying and seeking of God, there will be no stopping this church. This church is going to become an unstoppable church.
Amen.
Men will be converted. Women will be converted. Us and girls will be converted. Young people will be converted, children will be converted,
yes,
and the church is going to grow. Let us renew our covenant of praying and say, "God, oh, and make me to live." enter here to bring your power down. Send the fire. Also send the rain to heal the sick, raise the dead, and glorify your name. Lord, I want to be another Elijah here. Make me another Elijah to pray your power down. Make me another Elijah. Make me another Peter to minister, to see souls on fire to the glory of God. Shall we open our mouth? Open our mouth and begin to pray. Everybody, pray our mouth, pray our mouth. Let's pray as a church. Let's pray as one church. Say, Lord, renew my covenant of prayer. I want to renew my prayer covenant today. Shall we open our mouth and begin to pray? Open your mouth, John. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. You can pray. You can pray. Open your mouth and say something. Say, God, I want to make prayer business. Renew my prayer life. Father God, I thank you this evening. I pray, God, that you renew my prayer life. Renew my covenant of prayer. Take away every hindrance. Take away every barrier that stopped me from making prayer a business, from making prayer a lifestyle. Lord, I pray, over part of this church. I pray for the men. I pray for the women. I pray for the boys. I pray for the girls. Lord, come down this evening and renew our prayer. Take away, oh God, everything that stands before us and you of not praying the way you want us to pray. God, renew our prayer. Come on. Listen. Yes, Lord, I thank you. I give you praise. I want to say, Pastor, I want you to go to somebody. Hold somebody's hand. Let's divide ourselves into two. Hold the hand of the person next by you. Pray for that person. I want you to open your mouth, pray, and talk to God. I know, you know, we can do it. You know, there are people who believe that British people are reserved people. I don't believe in it. We are not reserved. I know more than that. I know better than that. I watch your football teams. I watch them on the television. They make the loudest noise among all the sport fans all over the world. You know, they make the loudest noise. They will start from the beginning of the match, and they were shouting and clapping and jumping until the end of the match. I see some of their men remove that dress. Yes, then when we come to the church, we are not any reserve. Hold somebody's hand and begin to pray for that person. And say, God, bless my brother. Make my brother to make prayer a business. Take away every hindrance. Come on now, reach out to somebody. Reach out to somebody. Reach out, come back. It's me and you. Open your mouth and pray for that hand. Gracious Lord, I thank you for my brother and your servant, Pastor Mark. I am asking, oh God, that you come upon him and pray. God, renew the prayer covenant that he has made with you. We need to pray. We need to seek your face. Everything that constitutes a barrier and a hindrance to him making prayer, take it away. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for good health. I pray for death and night. I pray for great bodies. Beginning from today, let every limitation be taken away. In the mighty name of Jesus, we want to see miracles happen in our life, in this church. Father God, I pray, release your power upon your servant. Release your anointing upon your servant. Make us, oh God, to make prayer business. Make us to pray like Elijah. Make us to pray like Peter and Paul and Silas, who through their praying, the power of God came down and shook the chain that held them in body. Lord, this is our desire this evening. We give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I want you to break up close to the next person. Go to another person. Yes, come on, come on. No, open your mouth and pray. And ask God to touch your brother. To make prayer in this place. Every hindrance, step the Lord to take away. And I'm going to pray. I pray, Lord, for that. I am asking God that you believe that prayer covenant that will happen. We want to go back to pray today. We want to see miracles. We want to see heaven open. We want to see your glory come down. We want to see your power in his life, in his brother, in the world.
Father God, I pray, as the minister to our young people, I am asking that the anointing of the Holy Spirit should come upon you, so that those young people should know. We give you the glory, we give you the honor. Thank you, mighty God, forever. Let the name be good. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Can the church say amen? Let the church shout amen like thunder.
Amen.
Shall we stand together? I want the songs, I mean the team leader, give us a good song and let us praise God.